Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
I like coming out to that song. I feel like I'm coming out to like a big basketball game, and it's like, come on, what's up, everybody? It's kind of like my theme song, you know what I mean? Like, what's up? Just eat some smoke, and you know, never mind. Maybe next week you guys could do like a tunnel, and we could come out. Sorry. All right. We're going to get into the Word. Would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning. God bless you wherever you are. So good to have you joining in with us. Absolutely. How many of you have your notebooks with you today? You have notebooks? You have your Bibles? All right. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to get there in just a minute. I would like to just really quickly personally invite you to the 5 o'clock new guests night. If you've recently started attending here, I know that we've invited you a couple times this morning, but I want to invite you and make sure that you hear it from me. I would love to spend some casual time just talking to you. What I love about that event is I get to hear your stories. So many times in church on the way out, we shake hands and it's have a good day. But those are moments where you can just kind of eat together. It's a really nice kind of meal, not meal, like appetizers and things that they provide, and little desserts and things. Good sitting areas for us to just be casual and talk. Bring the kids. You know, we don't have anything official for them, but it's like a big family area. So just come on, bring them over. And it's at 5 o'clock. Put your hand up like this, 5 o'clock. And so if you've been coming around here past few months and you haven't had a chance to connect, make it a priority tonight. You will be so glad that you did. All right, we're going to be talking about hearing the voice of the shepherd today. How many of you want to hear God's voice on a higher level this year? Yeah. I want to talk to you and teach you, kind of not take for granted that everybody knows how to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to teach you practical ways on how to hear God's voice and how to apply that. Being in the Spiritual Man series, I'm trying to remind you, you can write all these things in your notes. I'll just say things. If you think they're worthy of writing down, write them down. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. You are a spirit. It's a recreated spirit. It's a newborn spirit. It's a new creation. That's us. And what this series is about is learning how to develop that spirit side of you, learning how to practice, exercise those spiritual gifts in your life, exercise those promises that are related to you, relating to God in the spiritual level. You are not mere mortals anymore. Praise God for that, right? Talked about that last week. You have been taken from a tree that was just on your own, just in the flesh. You've been grafted into the tree of Jesus, and you have so much potential. And so I just want to train you and help you become skilled in hearing the voice of God. Now, it's interesting when I talk about hearing the voice of God, because it excites me to talk to people about understanding how to hear the voice of the Lord. But the world kind of pokes fun at that. They look at us and they say, oh, you're hearing voices. I didn't say we're hearing voices. We're listening to the voice of one voice, the voice of God. If you're hearing multiple voices, you're going to want to get that checked out, okay? But we're talking about hearing the voice of God. Now, I would counter that and say, you think we're crazy because we believe we have a God that speaks. I think it's crazy to serve a God that doesn't speak back. I think that to serve and give your life and to go down a road that you have no interaction with that God, I think that would be crazy. But the fact that we believe our God speaks, which means he cares, he's interested, our God not only knows, he wants to impart what he knows to us so that we can know what he knows, I think that's beautiful. And to me, that's one of the gifts and privileges we have as children of God. So I really want to help you today learn how to hear the voice of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10, let me start reading it to you. I'm going to go a little bit further in verse 10. For his spirit, this is the capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Now, I want to establish to you real quick, and you write this in your notes, that the Holy Spirit is not a spirit from God, like angels or something like that. He is the Spirit of God. That's a big shift. I just want to help you see that the Holy Spirit is not a spirit up in heaven or a spirit from God. He is the Spirit of God. And he comes to show us God's deep secrets. I love that. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. This is the spirit of God. Just like no one knows what Kevin's thinking more than Kevin, no one knows what God's thinking more than God's own spirit. But God's spirit knows everything God knows because it's God's spirit. Are you tracking with that? All right, let's keep going. And we have received God's spirit. Say amen to that. So we've received God's spirit and everything God's spirit knows. The deep secrets, the thoughts of, the mind of, the information of. We've received that spirit that is the spirit of God. You see, no one can know the mind of someone that except the spirit of that person. No one can know the mind of God except the spirit of God. You're no longer on the outside of God looking in, wondering what God's thinking, wondering what he knows. What would God do? What would God think? What would God say on this? You're not on the outside because you couldn't know from the outside. You wouldn't know on the outside of Kevin what Kevin's thinking on the inside. But God has placed his spirit on the inside of you so you can know. So you can know. We have received God's spirit, not the spirit of the world, so we can know. Underline that in your Bibles. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. You know, one of the reasons you were given the Holy Spirit, see, you were prepared by Jesus, not just to go to heaven, but you were forgiven, washed, and cleansed so that you could house the Holy Spirit of God. One of the reasons you have the Holy Spirit on the inside is so that he can teach you all things, so that he can reveal to you the secrets and the thoughts and the mind of God so that you can have the mind of Christ. Sometimes we limit the Holy Spirit in our lives just to the idea of comfort or peace. Sometimes we limit the Holy Spirit in our lives just into speaking in new languages. Sometimes we limit the Holy Spirit as giving us power to heal the sick, to cast out demons. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit is resident, listen to me, resident, you are the temple of the Spirit of God. Resident is so you always have access to the mind and the thoughts of God. Now, for some of us, that's a big shift. For some of us, we've been taught that God's thoughts are a mystery to us, and he kind of likes it that way. He kind of likes to keep us in the dark. But for me today to teach you to become skilled at something, hearing the voice of God, then we must have the expectation that it's God's will for you to hear his voice. Do you understand what I just said there? See, if you don't think it's God's will to hear his voice, if you're still kind of timid or double-minded in that, then you won't receive that. So some of you already go back to your old Bible bringing up when you were brought up in Isaiah chapter 55. Let's go to Isaiah 55 just to help you answer maybe this question. Isaiah 55. See, when I was a kid, Isaiah 55 was what I would consider the sweep it under the rug verse. When I had a question, when I didn't understand something in my life and I wanted God's help on it, they would immediately counter back with, well, you know, God's ways are not our ways. So stop asking. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Why are you curious? He's not going to tell you. His thoughts are so big and your brain is so small, you can't comprehend it. So just trust. Now, maybe you didn't hear it just that way, but that's the way my little teenage brain heard it. And so here's what the verse is saying. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I don't believe that God was saying, I'm thinking on a level that you're not thinking, so stop asking me questions. Just trust. What I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying here is that your carnal mind wouldn't have figured out a solution like I can figure it out. Your limited point of view is going to come to certain conclusions, but I'm coming from a higher point of view. See, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, so why don't you come up and join me in my thoughts rather than staying down in your thoughts? Anybody hear what I'm saying? Why don't you trust when your thoughts are saying and feeling one way, by faith, trust that my thoughts, even if your emotions or even if your circumstances don't see it the way I see it, just trust that I know better. It's not him telling you to be quiet. I don't want you to understand. Rather, he's inviting you to come up. And let's also look at it and say, that's Old Testament anyways, where they were on the outside of God's thoughts looking in, but now
The mind of God is on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? And so if we don't make that shift, if you're still kind of in that zone where it's like, well, we're never going to know kind of what God's up to. It's always a mystery. That's kind of like how God keeps you in a place of faith. I believe it's by God inviting you to his thoughts that you can put faith in those thoughts so you can bring those things to pass in your life. Let's go on in some scriptures and just kind of continue with this foundation. It is my expectation to hear God's voice. It is my expectation and belief system that every believer filled with the Holy Spirit has access to the mind of God, to the voice of God, and it's not supposed to be once in a while or once in a lifetime you may hear the Lord talk to you, but it's a relationship. You know, all relationships are based on communication. Every good counselor will tell you that. Every marriage, every relationship, even parent to child relationship, every relationship, spouse, is based on good communication. And how many of you know we were not brought into a religion, you were brought into a relationship? Which means if God kept us in the dark, that's already an unhealthy relationship. If he didn't want you to speak to him, if he didn't want you to ask him questions, then that is an unhealthy, broken communication. That's not indicative of a healthy, growing relationship. I believe God wants to speak to you consistently. God wants to be involved. Let's look here on in the Bible in James chapter 1, verse 5. Write it down on your notes. James 1, verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom. Now, I love it's if any. It's not just pastors or prophets. Any believer. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let them ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally or abundantly and ungrudgingly without reproaching or finding fault in them, it will be given to him. The it would be the wisdom. So you see the invitation there where God is saying, if you're deficient in wisdom of any kind, if you have a question, I want you to come to me. And I'll give to you not just one little breadcrumb of information. I'll give it to you liberally. God wants you to speak to him. God wants you to ask him questions. You know, I was sharing this in the last few services, but I really love this concept. When you become comfortable in asking God's opinion and asking God's thoughts and inviting him to speak to you, do you know it says so much about your relationship with God? It says that you trust that he wants you to come to him. It shows a faith that he has the answers that you need and that you're not leaning on your own understanding. You see, when we don't go to God, it's saying that you believe more in your own answers than in trusting his answers and giving him opportunity to give his input, right? Think about what it's saying by not going to him. Is it saying, well, he doesn't want me to come? Man, that does not look like the God we see in the Bible, right? Is it saying, if I go, I won't be able to comprehend, I won't be able to understand it anyways? Is it saying that you're not capable of hearing by not going? See, it says a whole lot by not going. It says a whole lot by going. When I see believers grow up and become comfortable with going to God with their questions and going to God for his guidance and leadership to speak to them, it reminds me of the little kids who feel comfortable to go crawl up on their daddy's lap and to ask anything that they might have concern or issues for. See, doesn't that sound like come boldly into the throne of grace to find help in your time of need? Quite often, the help we need the most is for God to speak to us about what's going on in our life. Amen? And you've been given the Holy Spirit on the inside so that you can know, so that you can know. You know, the whole Bible is God trying to help us understand. Our God is a speaking God. The idea that he doesn't want us to understand or he wants to keep himself a mystery or his ways or thoughts a mystery does not line up with the rest of the Bible. Everything God did throughout the Bible was God trying to help us understand. He would send prophets so that the people would understand. He wrote down his laws so that the people would understand. He built tabernacles as metaphors and symbolic about what the Messiah was going to be able to bring and do and sacrifices and how forgiveness was going to work and operate so they could understand. Do you see? Everything was so that people could understand. Our God wants to communicate. He is a speaking God. Matter of fact, you can look back into Genesis when he made man. And he said he made all these animals, and then he said, let's make man in our own image, and he made us another speaking spirit just like himself. Our God speaks. Our God wants to communicate to us. Our God is making sure that we comprehend and we understand what's in his heart and in his mind. He's doing everything he can to be a part of and give you the information you need and to give you the support you need and the truth you need and the guidance that you need. God is for you. And if God is for you, it doesn't matter what's against you. Come on now. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 3. The watchman opens the gate for himself. Jesus was speaking. The watchman opens the gate for himself, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Can you just see that? That God knows your name, and he calls you personally, individually by name. He leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. By faith, can you say that? Can you say this after me? I recognize my shepherd's voice. Say that. I recognize my shepherd's voice. This is his will. This is his intention. They follow him because they know his voice. I know my shepherd's voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. See, one of the protections that we have from lies or counterfeit is that we know the voice of the real. And so when the enemy tries to talk to you, you know that's the enemy because that does not sound like my shepherd. Why? Because I know the voice of my shepherd. It's so empowering to know the voice of your shepherd, because then you'll know when the devil's talking. You'll know when people are talking out of their own understanding and their limited knowledge or point of view. And you'll even know when it's your own insecurities or fear talking. And you won't follow that because that's not the voice of the shepherd. Somebody say amen to that. These are the two verses I really love to pray for people whenever they come to me and they're asking, could you pray for me? I need wisdom. I pray that God, you said that if I lack wisdom, I can come to you and I can receive wisdom. Liberally, I receive wisdom. And you said that I am your sheep and I know your voice. Now, what I'm trying to do is help empower you to be able to believe that for yourself so that you're not always dependent on going to someone else who believes they can hear God. But you in your situation can get a hold of God, understand what the shepherd is saying, and be empowered and knowledgeable about how to respond or how to act in your moment of greatest need. Here's the problem. The problem has never been God failing to speak to us or trying to help us understand. The problem has been our inability to listen and obey that which we hear. I love that even the fact that Jesus is the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Do you understand that's God's desire to make sure that people get it? All the law, all the prophets, everything about the nature and personality of God, in case you didn't get it through 4,000 years of teaching, he's going to put it on in flesh so you can see it in front of you in operation, so you can understand. You see how God wants you to get it? God wants us to know. It's never been a lack of God communicating to us. It's always been our inability to listen or obey or do that which we hear. That's what we're going to work on right now. That's where we're headed today. We hear what he says, but then we refuse to obey. As a matter of fact, a lot of believers, if we were honest, are probably hearing and picking up on things the Spirit is saying in our lives. But the question is, how quick are we to respond? How quick are we to obey it? Or do we put our fingers in our ears and act like we're not hearing anything? Kind of like, la, 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 la. God talks to us about forgiving someone, and we're like, la, 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 la. But then God talks to us about blessing you financially. You're like, yes, Lord. Yes, I receive that, Jesus. You can speak. God talks to you about personal holiness, and you're your media and you're like, la, 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 la. God talks to you about healing and long life. You're like, hallelujah, I receive it. Do you understand? I truly believe that we probably hear more than we're putting on. And what God is wanting us to do is he's wanting us to hear and obey. And I'm going to teach you a little bit about that right now. To have the ability to hear and then to obey that which we hear. Trust is built as you obey and follow through with what you're hearing. In learning to hear the shepherd, you must be trusted to hear plans and ideas and the thoughts of the Lord. Write that in your notes. In learning to hear, God is teaching you. He's learning to trust you, and you're learning to trust yourself to hear the plans, the ideas, and the thoughts of the Lord. He's growing you up. He's developing you. But that's kind of the overall idea. Is God speaking with you about what he's doing in a generation or what he's doing in your home, what he's doing in your life. He's talking to you about his plans. He's talking to you about his ways. He's talking to you about his wills. It starts with obedience in regards to personal holiness and faithfulness. Write that in your notes. He will start to speak to you in areas of your personal holiness and your personal faithfulness. When God begins to speak to you and he begins to teach you how to hear his voice, again, you're trying to understand God's thoughts, hear his plans, hear his ways. He's going to start speaking to you about your life. And how quick are you to hear and obey what you're hearing? By being quick to obey what you're hearing, you're building a confidence. By seeing yourself hear what God says to you about your personal holiness and obeying it, you see the value of it, all of a sudden you want to hear it again. Because you saw the fruit of hearing God speak into your life and situation. You obeyed what he said, you sorted it out, you came into alignment with what he said, and you see the fruit of it, and you're like, I want to hear it again. You're building trust. And you're also understanding that what God's speaking to you isn't there to harm you. It's always there to help you. So if God's speaking to you about personal holiness, God's speaking to you about things like forgiveness, God's speaking to you about things like generosity or evangelism, whatever, you begin to see that God speaking to me is always about improving my life, not reducing or shrinking it in any way. And so you're building trust in what's coming from God. You're building trust that you have the capacity to hear from God, and you're putting it into practice in your personal holiness and your personal faithfulness. As you fulfill those tests and you grow in those areas, God will begin to speak to you on behalf of bigger plans and about other people's situations and lives. See, I love how God is trusting us and he's teaching us how to hear his voice about our life, be obedient, and then he can trust us to hear about somebody else's life and be profitable and helpful in their life. What we sometimes want is for God to speak through us for someone else, and we're ignoring what he's saying about us in our lives. That would make you an incapable servant. Does that make sense? Because you're not being obedient with what he's saying to you about you, why would he speak to you and trust you with somebody else's life? You see what I'm saying? So God begins to build trust and help you grow in hearing his voice when he's talking to you about you. Your personal holiness. Where are you with forgiveness? Where are you with sorting out like areas of bondage and sin? God's been talking to you about confessing some things. God's been talking to you about getting some accountability so that you can become free in some things. God is wanting to increase your life. He's speaking to you not to shame you about it. He's speaking to you to free you from it and then make you a vessel that you can then be a blessing into other people's lives as well. Are you understanding this? And so God doesn't skip that step of personal development where he just starts, God, use me to speak to other people about their life. Only when he can trust you to listen about your own life. Man, that's so powerful. I don't want someone talking into my life on behalf of God that won't obey God in their own life in regards to forgiveness and holiness. See, and if I'm not listening to God, if my character, which is what God normally starts with, remember what I said, holiness, faithfulness, if that hasn't been worked out, then pride can get in because I'm being used of God to speak to others on his behalf. But if over here I've been obedient and let God work on me, I'm also going to have that pride thing worked out because he would have been dealing with me about my pride over here. And so now I really see me sharing a word for somebody else really to serve them rather than to be of self-service to myself, to make me look good or make me look powerful or to have some sort of value in their eyes. The selfishness issue was dealt over here as God was dealing with me in my personal walk with him. And so there's this growing, there's this maturing process. Every time God speaks, your response will either make it easier or more difficult to hear him the next time. Every time God speaks, your response will either make it easier or more difficult to hear him the next time. Are you quick to obey? Are you quick to obey? If you resist it, if you delay it, it's going to make it harder for you to hear the next time. I ask this question as a follow-up. What have you done with what you've already heard? It's a good practice right there. What have you done with what you've already heard? Let's go back through that whole category again. Personal holiness. What have you done with what you've already heard in your heart about dealing with personal holiness? Your mouth, your actions, your entertainment, the way you handle yourself. What are you doing with what you already heard about forgiveness? Are there people that you're refusing to forgive? If we stop listening to God about things like that, he is not going to keep telling you more because you didn't obey him with the last thing he said. We can't be surprised when God's not speaking more to us when we pick and choose what we're listening to. Right? What he's looking for is to flow through you like a body where the head and the body are one. God says it, God, you know, declares it, and the body follows through with it. And as you learn to flow with that, you learn to live a bigger life. It begins to really pick up steam. But when you pick and choose, imagine your body only obeying every third thought that the head sends into it, because it's picking and choosing what it's going to obey. So what have you done in areas of holiness, forgiveness, serving others? The Lord's prompted you. You know he's been talking to you about doing something for your neighbor. Maybe they went through a tragedy. Somebody died recently in their life. He said, go bring them something. Go serve them. Go help them in some way. And you keep delaying. What is it showing? It's showing that you're really not valuing that word that you're hearing. Do you see what I'm saying? Is this making sense? Is this too simple? I'm really trying to help us today that our God is speaking, and he's probably speaking more than we're giving him credit for. It is not a matter of him speaking. It's more a matter of us pretending like he's not. And sticking our fingers in our ears. And we only want to hear what we want to hear. But when we value and we practice the voice of God, we get better at it. And we get better at obedience and better at trusting that his voice is for me, not against me. How many of you believe that God is for you, not against you? Anybody? If he was against you, he wouldn't have come and died on a cross for you. If he was against you, he wouldn't have given you his Holy Spirit. That you may know. If he wanted to keep you in the dark and just let you struggle through life, God doesn't want you just to struggle through. He wants you to be an overcomer. And part of being an overcomer is learning how to hear the voice of the overcomer and the truth and the wisdom. And as he speaks to you, it's not just about forgiving you of sins. I get so excited about Christianity because it's not just about being forgiven. We've shrunk this thing down to like just being forgiven. I'm not just forgiven. I've been made a son. Somebody say amen to that. I've been filled with his mind and filled with his power and his spirit so that I may know some stuff. Stuff that the world can't get a hold of. That's why you're so valuable, because you can get a hold of thoughts that they can't get a hold of. I need to take a breath. I'm about to pass out. You're going to get this one way or another. You are meant to know the voice of God. You're meant to commune. That's what communion is. It's what relationship is. How do we do this practically? How does this voice sound in a practical way? How can we begin to pick up and learn and practice learning the voice of God? What does the shepherd's voice sound like? Number one, write this down. Revelation from the Word. Revelation from the Word. John chapter 14, verse 26. Write that in your notes. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance my words. I love that word remembrance, because the word remembrance means you heard it once before, at least once. I used to say that your brain is like a bank. And when you put investment in, then when the Holy Spirit needs to bring it out to make a withdrawal, it's there. It's in learning here to hear the voice of God in this next year, you all raised your hand and said, I want to hear God's voice on a higher level. I'm going to challenge you on this piece of work, this DTW. You're going to have to know the Bible on a higher level. To hear the voice of God and to be able to discern it accurately and to be able to know the voice of the shepherd, the truth instead of the counterfeit, there's no quick fix to that. You are going to have to become diligent in a Bible. Find a translation that you understand. There's no reason why you have to read a translation that you do not comprehend. There's plenty out there to help every type of learning style to help you. And I shall, if this is a brand new year, I would say go get a brand new Bible if you need to. God wants you to understand. So, number one is we begin to weekly or daily put the Word of God into our hearts. And what God will do is the Holy Spirit will withdraw it out of the piggy bank when you need it the most. You're going through an opposition, you're going through adversity, you're feeling discouraged, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reaches into your spirit, man, reaches into that word that you've heard. Maybe it was in church, maybe it was during your daily or weekly reading, and he brings up a verse and he says, this is for you right now. And that brings the faith that you need in that moment. That becomes your sword in that moment to speak that word rather than what your flesh or your circumstance wants you to speak. It's different than you trying to just find a scripture. By revelation, the Spirit of God says, this is your freedom. This is your sword right now. This is where your gift of faith is going to come from. This is God promising you victory right now. And God will speak to you by bringing word up and bringing revelation, opening your eyes to something in scripture, and God saying, that's for you right now. That's for you right now. And you'll be surprised how all of a sudden you heard his voice speak to you and your fear just begins to drain away. And you begin to lay hold of that as a word from God. God gave me a word today in the middle of my crisis. The doctor said this, the bank account said this, this happened at work. And all of a sudden, that Holy Spirit, which is the mind of God, God begins to tell me what he's thinking about it rather than leaving me into what I would naturally think about it or to what everyone else is thinking about it. God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Come take my thought. This is my thought. Take it. And it's linked in my word. Take it. Let my word be true and every man a liar. Man. Whew. If I had a hanky up here, I'd shake it at myself. Number one, revelation. God will speak to you through revelation just like that. Don't take that lightly when you're going through something and all of a sudden this certain scripture starts coming up to you. But also, hey, let's prepare before a battle. Let's get the word in our heart before a battle. Come on now. So number one way, these are not listed in priority or how, I'm just giving you a list, and it's not a complete list, it's just partial. God will speak to you through revelation from the word. Number two, I really like this one. I like them all, but I really like this one. It's just basic direction from the word. Basic direction from the word. I love it when I get revelation and God speaks a specific word to me. But do you know that God's word is God's revealed will already? It's God's thoughts already. And so it's really important that you get good at obeying what's in black and white or red if you have one of those. There's just simple verses like don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, it didn't speak to me by revelation. And I'm really mad at my spouse. Do you see what I'm saying? No, it's what it said. Therefore, that's God's word. That's God's will. That's God's thoughts. I will put it into practice regardless of how I feel. It's just there. Let's not forget the simplicity of that. Like not being unequally yoked with unbelievers or, come on now. All this stuff that's just black and white. Everyone wants a word from God. Let's also obey the written word just as it's written. And by doing that, it's a great foundation for everything else I'm about to talk about. Because I'm going to talk to you now about some kind of external ways that God will speak to you. But in knowing the written word of God, you'll be able to judge everything you hear from any other source. Because no matter if it comes from someone who calls themselves a prophet, no matter if it comes from an impression, no matter if it comes from circumstantial things, no matter what, a dream or whatever, it all will line up according to the word. This becomes the litmus test. This is the straight stick to see if anything else is crooked. And if you don't know this, you're going to get sidetracked or deceived, okay? And so I know this is, in you learning the voice of the shepherd this year, it's going to take discipline. Get into the word. Because everything else is going to go back to this. So, revelation from the word, basic direction from the word. Number three, inner impressions. Inner impressions. There's times where I'm driving or I'm, you know, working on something, and I just start to sense the Lord's talking to me right now. Don't push that aside. You're a spirit-filled person. This is going to happen. Start letting it be normal in your life. And you go tuck yourself away and you do what Samuel did in the Old Testament. If you don't know who he is, it's an exciting book, 1 2 Samuel. He looked, when he started hearing God's for the first time, he just said, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." Do that. You start getting this sense that God's talking to me about something right now. He may be talking to you about you. You may have a sense that God's talking to you about one of your grandkids, one of your kids. You are led by the Spirit of God. If we're going to start becoming a successful church in this generation, we have to start leaning into those things. They may not seem like they make sense up here, but something in here says God's trying to talk to me about something. So your response, because you're growing in this and you appreciate it, is you go get with God and say, "Speak, I'm listening." You take a piece of paper and you begin to write down what it is that you sense the Lord is saying to you. You let him give you verses that'll start coming to you when you've set yourself aside and you write that down. You see what the Lord is saying. You begin to pray that. You begin to do that. You might be at work and everyone else is going out to lunch, but you're sensing, "Oh, God's talking to me. I sense there's something in here happening. God's trying to tell me something." You go back to the office. You don't have to tell everybody at work, "I'm going to go hear the voice of the Lord in my office." Just go to your office, let them go to lunch, and you just prioritize and appreciate God speaking right now, and you begin to write down what you hear. Now again, everything that you write down, you're going to judge according to the word. See how they go together? So that you know it's God talking to you and what it is that he have to say to you. There's a great verse in Psalms chapter 5, verse 3. "In the morning you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning I prepare a prayer and a sacrifice for you. And I will watch and I will wait for you to speak to my heart." God speaks to our heart. We may not have all the clarity of it, but it's a place where God begins to get our attention. He begins to impart thoughts, ideas, dreams, all those things. He bypasses your mind and your understanding. He starts to speak to your heart so that you can start to pray and believe for some stuff. Amen? I love that. Number four, authorities. Authorities. God has put pastors, parents, prophets, teachers, elders, evangelists in your life to help be a covering. I love having spiritual coverings over my life. I don't care that I'm a pastor of a church. I still have people that I see in my life that I've put in place that can speak into my life. And if I'm sensing something, even big shifts or big changes or dreams, I can reach out and I can talk to them because they're there to help me in wise counsel. That's scriptural. I want to say this real quick. Sometimes when we teach people, charismatic people, that they can hear God's voice for themselves, they mistakenly think now they don't need anybody else. And that's when they become goofy. Or as the Greek would put it, weird. And they think, "That's right, I don't need anyone to teach me, just me and the Holy Spirit." There's balance to all these things. These things work together. Amen. Okay? And having authorities and people to talk to process with is scriptural. Now, I'm going to say this. Write this in your notes. Just because someone has an opinion doesn't qualify them as a counselor. Oh, somebody's clapping. You had that happen, huh? Yeah, absolutely. People who have a voice. Everybody's got an opinion nowadays. That does not qualify you to be my authority or counselor. Here's my litmus test. I look at the fruit of their life. If their life is not more successful than my own or worse, you are not qualified to counsel me about anything. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey your spiritual authorities, submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they're constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. As men who will have to render an account of their trust, do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning." I love that. "For that would not be profitable for you either. Make it easy for your spiritual leaders and authorities to speak into your life." Can I hear an amen on that? Don't make them pay every time they have something to say. You brought them in. You've vetted their life already. If you don't trust their life and you don't trust the fruit of their life, you don't trust them, then they shouldn't be your spiritual covering anyway. But once you've trusted them, if they say something that you don't like, it's probably for your benefit. Amen? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, "Where there's no counsel, the people fall. From the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now, when we got a clarification, it's not the multitude of opinions, it's a multitude of counselors. Number five. Are you getting anything out of this today? Number five, peace, the peace of God. The peace of God. There's a something doesn't sit right sometimes. I really want us to learn to lean into that. These are gifts that you have that God has put in you. There is either the peace or the lack of peace. When you're praying about something, you're about to you close a business deal, buy a house, move the family, cross every T, dot every I. Everything in the natural looks great, but something in here is going, rah, 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 rah. I don't know how you're going to write that in your notes. Rah, rah, rah. I think it's spelled, I don't know what it's spelled with. I just want to encourage you with this. Do not violate that peace. Even though in the natural, it looks spot on. Because there is the Spirit of God in you and His ways are not your ways. Again, not to keep you out, but to keep you safe. Man, that's good stuff. Now, it doesn't mean no forever. It may mean go seek the Lord on it. Let Him talk to you about why it's not there yet. But you step back and you say, well, it's going to offend some people. I'd rather offend some people than get it wrong. But then, on the flip side, there are times in the natural, it does not look like the right time to move. It does not look like the right time to close the deal. It does not look like the right time to sow. It's a famine outside, yet the peace of God is saying, sow in famine, and you're going to prosper. Now is your moment. And don't worry about what it looks like on the outside. Do you see how it can hit you either way? In one way, it looks perfect on the outside, and God says, stop. Sometimes it looks not perfect on the outside, and God says, go. Isn't it great to be led by the Spirit? Guys, this is supposed to be an adventure for us. Some people think that Christianity is boring. It's not boring. You're boring. When you do this thing God's ways, it's a great adventure. Amen. So learn how to hear and be sensitive to the peace of God or the lack of peace. Another way, number six, God speaks to us. I don't have time to go over this, is nature. God will teach us about His will, His character through nature. Number seven, audible voice. That is a way. It is not the way that we see primarily in believers' lives. God speaks with the inner witness first, but He does use audible voice. Number eight, this will be my last one for today, dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. That's still a legit thing. The Bible tells us, go to Acts chapter 2, please. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know, one of the things the Holy Spirit is sent into our lives is to help us understand and to help us see things that we're not seeing. And sometimes dreams and visions begin to drop things into our heart that we weren't looking for. I can show you other scriptures just to see how prevalent it is throughout Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And 19, you're going to see how God directed the life of Jesus and Joseph through dreams. Joseph wasn't going to marry Jesus' mother, Mary. He thought when she got pregnant, I shouldn't marry her. And through a dream, the angel of the Lord told him that this was of the Lord, to marry her. And then later on in the same chapter, the wise men, they were warned by God in a dream about Herod's intention, the king who wanted to kill Jesus. So they were warned to go home another way. And then in another dream, Joseph was told also about Herod wanting to kill Jesus and to flee. And so they fled to Egypt. And then after Herod died, in another dream, God comes to Joseph. See, I love how these are very specific things. God comes to Joseph, says, Herod has died. Time to go back. Isn't it cool how God didn't need Twitter to get Joseph's attention? He was able to communicate dreams and visions. Isn't that powerful? Another one that I like to use as an illustration would be Acts chapter 10 with the apostle Peter. And he was serving God, bringing the gospel to the Jews, but God was about to expand his ministry. God was about to do something that Peter, in his natural mind, wasn't currently ready to do because his belief systems and his fears, he hadn't gotten there yet. And so God gave him an open vision to see that it was his call to start going to the Gentiles. He was on a rooftop, and the Bible says he went into a trance. That's a word for a dream. He was awake, and he saw this blanket come down, and in it there was all these things that Peter had thought he wasn't allowed to do, and God was getting him ready and preparing his heart to do something that his belief system wasn't ready for. Are you understanding me? Again, don't you see the nature of God just trying to communicate, wanting to help you get it, wanting to help you grow, wanting to help you prosper, those dreams and those visions, all that stuff. God is so for you, man. Man, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd become one right now. God is awesome. Being a Christian is awesome. Amen. But dreams and visions. So how do you know if a dream is from God or a vision from God? The biggest way for me is it just sticks with me, man. And there's just, I can feel it. Like those were significant things. There were significant people in it, significant moments were in it. I can still feel how I felt in that. It's and you begin to write them down. Write them down. And then what do you do with them? Take them to some good counselors that you trust. Oh, and judge it according to the word. Isn't it great that you're not just living your life based on having dreams? See, you blend them all together and it keeps you from being creepy. Amen. I mean, I know I've had some dreams that I can remember. One time I was flying on a pizza and then I was hiding in a freezer full of ice cream. I knew that wasn't from God. I can remember it because it was vivid, but in my spirit, I didn't think, oh God, what are you saying to me? You know what I mean? But I have had other dreams that they stick with you. There's a spiritual feel to them. Write them down. Amen. All right, go ahead and stand. We're going to close in a word of prayer. These are ways to start becoming more familiar, to start expecting in this next year to develop your spirit, man. God is trying to speak to you. It's a combination of them. Please don't just get focused on just one. It's a combination. Don't just be looking for dreams and visions. They'll come to you. But I also want to encourage you with this. I don't want you to become panicked. Sometimes you talk to people about hearing the voice of God, they get so worried or self-conscious. They're like, am I hearing God? Am I not hearing God? They go to the restaurant after church. God, should I have a hamburger? God, should I have turkey? God, should I have a salad? What is he talking about? Please don't get that way. Please, I'm not trying to make you that way. I'm trying to help you start flowing with God and start welcoming him to talk to you in things that really matter, not should you have a hamburger or a chicken sandwich. And don't panic about, did I hear it? Did I not hear it? It's enjoy learning how to hear it, right? Like, don't worry about failing. That's where the accountability is for. That's why you present it to those that you trust. That's why you go back to the scripture. It's how you learn. It's how you learn. And so I'm just trying to encourage you, take some of that pressure off of you. Like, you got to get it right. I got to get it right. Even if you get it wrong, trying to get it right, it's still growth. Man, there's times I thought God was telling me to do something and I did it. Normally, it's going to be something generous. It's going to be something kind. Like call someone and tell them that you're praying for them. Is that God? Is it not God? I don't know, but it's not going to hurt for me to call. You know what I mean? Like, God is never going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt somebody. And so you learn and you test and you get better and you improve. And if what happens if you miss it? You say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it. If there's somebody that you heard in the process, I'm really sorry that I missed it. And then don't listen to that voice ever again. You see what I'm saying? Just learn. Just learn. Let's enjoy learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. Let me pray for you. Can I get the altar teams to come down? I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this church. I thank you that it is the privilege of the body of Christ to have the voice of the Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, to have the thoughts and the mind of God accessible to us. Lord, I pray over this next year, if you're bringing us into higher levels of breakthrough and accomplishing in 1 year what it's taken the last 2 decades. Lord, we're going to need to hear you on a higher level. We're going to need to be able to be quick to obey on a higher level. Lord, I ask right now that original question, is there any area in our life that we have heard you but we've refused to obey, even in our personal holiness or our personal faithfulness? Lord, we repent and we ask you to forgive us and we're going to make that right. We're going to go do what you're saying, telling us to do. And Lord, I ask that you continue to guide us. Help us to grow in hearing the voice of the Spirit, getting better and better and better as we practice. We give you thanks that you are a speaking God, that you do care enough to talk to us. We're so grateful. I bless this church to grow in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.